China has tightened rules and regulations across many areas of society during the past few months. The entertainment industry is the latest target. Regulators have banned reality talent shows and so-called effeminated looking men on television. So we chat about this with our guest, writer and co-host, China Tech Investor Podcast, live from New York City, Elliot Zagman. Elliot, good day, greetings and welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
When we look at these developments that we've spoken about, you know, is there some sort of a revolution taking place in a incremental but very subtle and discreet manner?
Yeah, I think that there have been a lot of comparisons to the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s and 1970s, and I think that that's not a very good comparison. You know, Mao Zedong was a much more of this kind of chaotic revolutionary leader where, you know, he used a youth movement to kind of overthrow so many of the institutions in society. You know, in this case, Xi Jinping is doing almost the exact opposite, where, you know, he is using the existing, he has control over the existing institutions of society and is using them to kind of implement and take very tight control over over the country and kind of move it in the direction that he wants to. Both both this and the Cultural Revolution of the past are, you know, kind of totalitarian or extreme authoritarian movements. They're just very, very, very different kinds of authoritarian movements.
What is likely to be the consequences of this? Do we see, you know, people going closer to the Communist Party, or, you know, some sort of aversion and distancing?
Well, I think what we're seeing here is, you know, through the period of China's reform and opening up of the 1980s, 90s, and, you know, the much of the last 20 years as well, we've seen distance between the party and kind of social life. That, you know, even though the Chinese Communist Party still ruled the country, you know, there was a lot more room for private enterprise, and there was a lot of room, especially in people's individual lives, to kind of live the lives that they wanted. Right now, I think that what Xi Jinping is wanting to do is take much more control over people's individual lives, and that includes the economy, that includes society, and that includes things like how much time kids spend playing video games, or what kind of celebrities they follow in social media as well. So I think that Xi's vision for China is one where the state has ultimate control over just about everything.
Yes, and how are the Chinese, you know, general citizenship responding to this? Are they obliging? Do they have any leeway to resist?
I think it depends entirely on who you ask. So I've recently researched some of their educational reforms, which have really turned kind of China's educational system on its head in a lot of ways. And some folks, some parents are welcoming them quite a bit, because, you know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on a lot of parents to, you know, have pay for their kids to have all these extra classes. And the recent regulations have gotten rid of a lot of these for-profit tutoring companies, and a lot of parents are happy about that. And then I've spoken with others who, you know, they think that the regulations mean that they have less opportunity to get ahead or to be exceptional, because this is much more of a socialist, you know, policy. So a lot of them that are maybe wealthier, they're considering moving abroad or looking more into, you know, sending their kids abroad for their education, while others are welcoming that what they see as a more kind of egalitarian or equality-focused educational approach.
Yes. In terms of, you know, speaking about some of the restrictions, so we also seen that there is a restriction that is attempted to be put in place in terms of less screen time, that parents should limit the screen time of their kids. Is this only because China is doing this? You know, are they getting criticized, or is this something that parents would anyway be looking towards in a favorable way, that they could limit, they could use this as an excuse to limit the screen time of their kids?
Well, I think it's important to make distinctions here. The regulations limit online gaming to only 3 one-hour windows per week. Now, that's online gaming. So, for example, if you're playing Mario Kart or Zelda or something like that, it's on your Nintendo Switch, that's not online gaming in most cases, and you can do that as much as you want. But something like, for example, Fortnite, I think would be an example of an online game where, you know, these communities that can be quite addictive, and also where there's a lot of, you know, these sort of, you know, in-game purchases where, you know, I'm sure if you're a parent, maybe you'll see, you check your credit card statement and all of a sudden your kid spent $100 on, you know, on outfits for their Fortnite character or whatever. So that's what it cracks down on. I think that, you know, this is another area where I think parents have mixed reactions. I think that if you spoke with most Chinese parents, you know, and parents all over the world, you know, they think that video games can be a problem. But I also know a lot of parents that, you know, some of them are welcome that the government can get involved here and limit their kids' screen times. But others, you know, think that this is a personal issue that parents should be able to decide with their children.
Yes, certainly. In terms of, you know, these regulations that are being put in place, how is it being viewed from the foreign investor point? Could it possibly be counterproductive what China is doing in terms of attracting foreign investment?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is probably the most definitive answer that I can give here, is that I think that pretty much across the board, foreign investors are spooked. So if you look at, for example, the private tutoring industry, there was hundreds of billions of dollars worth of capital invested in these companies on U.S.-based exchanges, just on U.S.-based exchanges, and not to mention elsewhere as well. And all of a sudden, these regulations came and completely made their business models illegal and completely tanked the stocks. So if you're, for example, a fund manager and you are looking at the future of China, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's nothing that investors dislike more than uncertainty.
In terms of, you know, any restriction or any resistance to these measures that have been put in place, if we would say that, you know, is the bottom line that China is too big of a role player, too big of a superpower for anyone to put any pressure on them to rethink any of these restrictions?
Well, I think, you know, to be honest, it kind of means China has to weigh the cost and the benefit. I think China's too big for any external actor to really force it to do what it wants. However, there are different interest groups within China that may win or lose depending on what China does and what the rest of the world thinks. Obviously, you know, if there's less foreign capital coming into China because it's a less appealing place to invest, then a lot of the country's business people are going to be not so happy, right? And a lot of the country's business people do have a lot of sway within the political system too. But I think ultimately, you know, in a system like China's, I think, you know, just from, you know, the Chinese folks I know, I think that generally, if you want to do something that is different than, you know, the path that the Communist Party puts forward, you know, your option really is just, you probably need to leave the country, you know, move abroad, move to the United States, move to Singapore or somewhere like that. And I think that's really the, you know, at least in my conversations, the way that Chinese folks are looking at the situation.
Certainly. Thank you for chatting to us. Your time appreciated.
Sure. My pleasure.
Go well. Bye-bye.